You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Sunny today, about 30 degrees. Tonight's supposed to be mostly clear. Low, however, down around 4 degrees, so it's going to be cold again. Tomorrow, Saturday, mostly sunny. High of about 27 degrees, so it should be a nice day tomorrow. Again, mostly clear tomorrow night, but low temperatures. However, there's about a 50% chance of snow on Sunday, and that is going to start, should start in our area in the afternoon. So be careful because it's, as I said, mostly afternoon, and there'll be a high near 29 degrees, not much chance of wind. But on Sunday, there's probably less than half an inch. But going into Sunday night, they say, at least predicting now, 100% chance of snow. Again, depending where you are, possibility of 1 to 3 inches. Then on Monday, although there's it's a slight chance, there's a slight chance of freezing rain, and that's not fun. And then again on Tuesday, snow is likely. It's about a 60% chance of snow. But, you know, it's not going to be, or it's not predicted to be a heavy snow. And then again into Tuesday night, snow and a mixture of rain and snow. But we're back, the sports guys and the two sports guys right now. And hopefully we'll be joined by Ken. And we know that John isn't going to be here today, but of course, reliable and always prepared. Bill Wolfson is joining me. I'm Pat Smits, and at least you got two sports guys today. And I'm going to pretty much, you know, give the program to Bill because other than some bull riding, I've been too busy to watch many sports. And since football season is over, I do have one question, however. We know that spring training is in full bloom, right? I mean, they've started, right, Bill?
Of course.
Okay. So where in Florida do the teams have spring training? I know there's Sarasota. I know, isn't there Bradenton? Where else do some of the teams have their spring training?
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Heartily endorsed. I think it's a great idea. And that's 99 Main Street, a community art space right here in Flemington. It's a combination of Flemington Business Group and the and Flemington DYI, or Flemington Do-It-Yourself. They've established a do-it-yourself art space.
Now, where is that?
90 Main Street, right here in Flemington. Flemington DYI, or Do It Yourself, is an organization whose mission is to inspire social change by fostering and cultivating products and projects that connect the local community with musicians and artists here in Flemington.
Well, let me ask you.
They seek to provide a safe and creative space for the community to engage with a burgeoning local art scene. In maintaining such a space, they look to provide production facilities to local-based artists in tandem with coordinating art-based programs and events. So they call it the 90 Main Project, and it's a culmination of the combined efforts of Flemington DYI, or Do It Yourself, and the Flemington Business Improvement District, or BID. The space itself serves not only as a meeting place, but as an art gallery and performance venue. 90 Main Street says that they offer multi-purpose rooms and workspace for providing music recording and production, printmaking and silk screening, as well as rehearsal rooms and a free library. Possibilities are endless for those of us in the arts.
Bill, hold on. Let me ask you. What building, you know, where's 90 Main?
For the Hunterdon County Bank Building. It's right across
the okay.
It used to be Mikasa. And for those of you who know a lawyer friend of mine, Lee Roth, right across from his office and right next to the Flemington Police Department headquarters. So you're going to be very safe if you go there because the cops are right next door.
Well,
it surprised me if you saw some of the cops there juggling guns or chainsaws or something.
And so people can use the space without charge?
That's what I understand. I don't know much about it yet. I just walked past there this afternoon, right after I took care of some personal errands, and I noticed it, so I went inside and I grabbed one of their business cards. But I think this is a really cool thing, and for those of us who grew up or came of age in the 60s or the early 70s, it's exciting to see young people starting projects like this for their art and everything else. So what I'm looking at is a shout-out right on, and good luck to 90 Main.
I agree, and another place that people should check out is the old Stengel Pottery, where there are a number of artists who exhibit and sell their art there. And, you know, anytime we can sponsor local artists, it's really important. And, in fact, you know, you did say, Bill, that it's 5 o'clock somewhere. And for those of people out there who may have been under a bushel basket, where does that come from? Where does that, that's your, seems to be your mantra?
Well, that mantra is actually in an Alan Jackson, Jimmy Buffett song. Alan Jackson sings about how rotten his job is and how his boss just took him over the limit. How I'd like to go to a bar, get drunk, and pour himself in a cab. And he starts to wonder, what would Jimmy Buffett do? And then Jimmy jumps in and starts singing about what he would do. So I encourage anybody who likes Alan Jackson or my own personal hero, Jimmy Buffett, to look around for that song on the radio. In fact, you can go on the internet and go to Radio Margaritaville, which is part of the way Jimmy Buffett makes earns your money so he can spend it foolishly, I hope, and manages to play that song probably every 7 or 8 hours it comes on. At least I always look for it because it's one of my favorite songs. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. You know, Pat, I've been practicing law now for 36 years, and I've had this fantasy that one day I'm in court, and there's a judge on the bench, and there's a jury, and I'm sitting at the counsel table with a couple of other lawyers, and my client, and there's other lawyers at the other counsel table. And finally, the judge looks at his or her watch and realizes it's 5 o'clock. Throws off the robe and jumps up on the bench and starts dancing and throws us all out of the room, the courtroom. And I'm sure that we would never see that here in New Jersey, where we have great judges and who almost never get overruled. But somebody should make a music video like that with Jimmy Buffett now and Jackson. I think that would be a whole lot more interesting to us of a legal profession than watching somebody behind the bar juggling bottles of margaritas or something. But enough of that. You asked me about...
Well, yeah, I want to know. I'm going to be... I won't be here next week. I'm going to be
Key West
in Miami. But I don't know of any baseball spring training around Miami. Does anyone play around Miami?
Well, I know the Miami Marlins do their spring training not far from there. And I'm not real sure too much about the east coast of Florida. I know the Mets are in Port St. Lucie, which is up around Jupiter. And I know that in Fort Lauderdale are the Atlanta Braves. I think actually the Braves are in West Palm Beach, excuse me. That's not too far from Miami, but I'm not sure who actually is in Miami. My sister lives in Cape Coral, which is just north of Fort Myers. Of course, the Twins are there, and so are the evil Boston Red Sox, right, John? And I can tell you that in Tampa, where my brother lives, are the Yankees.
Right.
George Steinbrenner Field, and not far from there in Clearwater are our Philadelphia Phillies, who will probably finish last this season. And then we have in Dunedin the Detroit Tigers, and as you go further south, either in Bradenton or Sarasota, I think the Chicago White Sox. And I'm sure there are some other teams around there, but I like the Tampa area because you can see a bunch of different teams pretty quickly. Additionally, the Tampa Bay Rays play in St. Petersburg at what used to be Allying Field, where the Yankees used to play many, many years ago before they moved to their new facility. And the Rays play in Tropicana Field, which is a domed stadium in St. Pete. But they call themselves the Tampa Bay Rays because Tampa and St. Pete kind of run into each other. They meet at the water and then one ends, and I think the other one kind of starts, although I can never tell them apart because, to be honest with you, St. Pete seems to be a little bit more laid back, a little hipper, perhaps. They have the Salvador Dali Museum, so that should say a lot. But
Clearwater and St. Petersburg have always been, retirement communities, although there's much more than just retirement, especially in Clearwater. But I think everybody used to consider St. Petersburg, a retirement community, just like they think of Sun City in Arizona as a retirement community.
Well, I don't know about that. My brother-in-law and my brother both, and my sister-in-law are all down in Florida many years. None of them are retired. They're all working pretty hard, and they live in very vibrant communities where there are people of all age.
Well, one of the things you're right about baseball, I mean, there are people... There are people down there. I'm sorry, folks. I don't think that Bill was on the air. But there are people that go to Florida for this time of year to go to the various parks and watch the ball games.
Well, it's wonderful to do that. I've seen minor league ball a number of times down there, and it's great to be up close and personal. And we have a phone call, folks. Let's see if you can do that right, Pat.
Keep talking, Bill.
Okay,
hello.
I guess I'm supposed to keep talking, aren't I? Well, you know.
Yes, it is.
I don't know who's on the air besides me.
Well,
but
we have Ken
in?
Calling in. Are you going to
Ken
come in?
Ken called in. Is he coming in or is he locked out? We have Ken for a case of Tasty Cake, folks. Let's see what
he's
So
do you have
us.
Anything to say to...
let's get Ken on the air.
Let's see if I can put you on hold.
Okay,
and,
Pat, this is going to be a test
hold
of
on. I'm
going to
see
dexterity.
If I don't... they keep changing how we do this. So
well, let's be real sure that Ken can get on the air.
Hold
because,
on, just a minute. I'll put you on hold.
You know, while Pat's struggling with the phone system here, let me talk about the New York Yankees. Ken can talk about the Mets once we get him on. Ken, are you there?
Ken, are you there? Nope, not so far.
I guess we don't have Ken yet, do we? Probably not. Well, in any event, let's be real sure we have Ken, because what we want to do is we want to be absolutely certain that we talk about his New York Mets and his New York Rangers. The Rangers are a fun
Ken,
team.
Are you here?
I'm here.
Okay, Ken
can
is on
him?
The air. Yes, we
okay,
can.
Okay, well, let's see if I can hear him now. I'll have to put
Hi,
one
everybody.
Of these on.
Hey, Bill.
So,
are you there?
He's in traffic on Route 22. So we're just talking a little bit about spring training down in Florida, because I was wondering if anybody plays in the Miami area. I know many of the teams play in the western part of the state.
Right. Yeah, so, I don't think too many train in Miami. I'm not sure why, but I think they're all in the northern and western part. They do that path so that they don't have to travel far to play games.
Oh, that's probably true.
Nobody wants to take a bus ride from Miami to Tampa, you know what I mean? So they're kind of clustered together.
But we were talking also about the number of people. I know a number of people that spend quite a bit of time at this time of year down in Florida, and they go to a lot of the games.
You know, Pat, I've never been to spring training baseball, either Florida or Arizona. Something, it's kind of on my bucket list because I'd love to go down see the Mets in Port St. Lucie and travel around a little bit to see the other facilities in Florida. It's the perfect time of year to do it, late February and March, because, you know, it's like enough already with the winter here in the Northeast. It'll be a great thing to get down there. And, you know, maybe one of these years, maybe next year, I'll schedule a vacation to do that. I think it'd be a great thing for a baseball fan or even a non-baseball fan just to see the various cities of Florida, you know?
Well, and it's also a way to, if it's spring training, spring break for kids, other people I know say it's, you know, a relatively inexpensive way for the kids to see a lot of the teams play.
Yeah, and hopefully that's something that can kind of nurture the sport of baseball. You know, we hear so much about how baseball isn't the national pastime anymore, and it's football and it's basketball and what have you, but you make a great point, Pat. I mean, between spring break and spring training, baseball and the beautiful weather in Florida, or at least it's a heck of a lot better than here in the Northeast, most parts of the country, it's a perfect match and a good chance to get outdoors and see something you haven't seen before.
Well, the other thing I know, and I don't recall exactly, but I know that they have, I don't want to call training camps, but there's kind of like camps for frustrated middle-aged men who go down and play.
They call those fantasy camps, Pat. And in fact, they have them in a lot of sports. I have a very good childhood friend, Brian Rosenthal, who went to the Yankees fantasy camp about 20 years ago. And Mickey Mantle himself said, "Boy, Brian, you actually do know how to play center field."
That must have made his year.
Yeah, you know, it made his life, because he even has his own Yankee baseball card. So, Brian Rosenthal, if you're out there listening, my hat's off to you. A tip of the Yankee hat. Speaking of the Yankees, two of the Yankees who were injured last year, Tanaka, who was having a great season, almost a Cy Young season, is now back. He's avoided Tommy John surgery, and he's saying he feels really good. Mark Teixeira, their first baseman, says his wrist feels great. He changed his diet. He changed his workouts. He dropped some fat, put on a lot of muscle, and it looks like he's really cracking the ball pretty good from what the New York Post said this morning. Meanwhile, the Yankees have to avoid all the A-Rod distraction and figure out where they're going to play him, because Chase Hundley has played third base pretty well for the Yankees and managed to be a decent hitter. So A-Rod may be seeing designated hitter duty, particularly after all those steroids.
Well, and isn't Jeter down there doing something?
Well, Derek Jeter's retired, just as Mariano Rivera is, but they're both hanging around the camp, helping out and showing the newer players the ropes, I suppose. But, Ken, we have you on. We know the Mets, you're a Mets fan. We know the Mets went 79-83 last year. And this looks like Terry Collins' option year. What do you think's going to happen with our Mets?
Well, I think, Phil, for the first time in a long time, I'm pretty optimistic about the Mets. I mean, there's a lot of positives. You know, 79 wins, I think the world champion Giants only won 87 or 88 games. So if you think of it in those terms, they're only less than 10 games away from being a playoff contender, you know, wild card, and get in the playoffs. Anything can happen in the playoffs. But here's how I looked at it. If you remember last year, the Mets bullpen in April with Jose Valverde and Kyle Farnsworth, it was terrible. I mean, it was the worst bullpen I've ever seen. Those two guys probably combined to blow four or five games that they, you know, he could put in the win column this year. We assume David Wright is going to be healthier than he was last year. There's a couple of wins there. Matt Harvey's back from the Tommy John surgery. Probably a couple wins there. I mean, I think easily, given no tremendous upgrade in performance, just on those three factors alone, puts them in the playoff hunt. And given the fact that there's a couple teams in the National League have really improved themselves, Cubs, Padres, even in their own division, the Miami Marlins. So it's going to be competitive, but I think the Mets have what it takes to win, you know, in the high 80s, which is going to put them right there, and maybe they add somebody in July, you know, before the trading deadline to get them over the hump. I mean, it's really the first time I've been able to say this in a long time. I think the Mets are going to be in the, you know, in the playoff hunt this year.
Well, you know, I think with the acquisition of Scherzer from Detroit, the Washington Capitals, or not the Washington Capitals, Washington Nationals, pardon me, are my favorite to finish first in the NL East. But I think the Mets are certainly have a shot at being a wild card team. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know what, with Scherzer now being on the Nationals, I'm not even considering him. The Mets were 17 games or 18 games behind the Nationals last year, and then they add Scherzer on top of that. I'm not saying I'm giving up on the Rays, but I think you really have to kind of concede that if everything goes right for Washington, they're going to win the division, and that the Mets will be in the, you know, in the battle for the wild card spot. I think you're right on with that.
Well, Ken, can you hold on for a few minutes? We want to play a few spots, and actually I have to leave early, so I'd love you and Bill to continue the program. Can you do that?
Sure. I'm not moving very fast here on Route 22, Pat, so I have time to kill, yes.
Okay, fine. Well, we'll keep you on, and we'll just take us off the air and play a couple spots, and then I won't see you next week, so... you know, make sure you get here, and I think you and John and Bill will be the sports guys next week, and I'll try to listen from Florida.
Why don't you call in from Key West?
Well, enjoy Florida.
I believe me, I will.
There's no spring training facilities in Key West. No,
but there's a lot of, there are a lot of bars, put it that way.
Okay.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. They're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com and find out how you can help.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
And we're back with the sports guys, everybody. Ken, good afternoon. How you making out here?
Ken, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. I guess we still got you. We didn't lose you, and we were getting all that nasty feedback, but I managed to kill by taking a scissors and cutting all the wires, Ken, except the one for you. So you think your Mets are going to get to the playoffs, huh?
I think they will be very close to a playoff team, and if things break right for them, I think they can make it. Yes. By the same token, Bill, things could go wrong, and they could miss the playoff. I don't think there's two wins, but...
Well, you know, it's
like I feel much better about this year than I had the last.
Well, you should. You know, you got Matt Harvey, who's a good pitcher. He's back. He's going to be in a rotation. You finally have a good bullpen. I think this is probably the most talented one in 5 years. Plus, Terry Collins has something to prove. This,
you know, I like Terry Collins. He has not had a lot to work with over the years. You know, they've a competitive team. They play hard. And now that they have the pitching, they have Michael Kadire. And, you know, I forgot to mention that when I was talking before. Remember, who can remember who their starting left fielder was last year? It was Chris Young. After Chris Young washed out, it was Kirk Gillenheist. With Matt Stendecker, I mean, it was really a revolving door. Now they have a legitimate professional hitter playing left field, and he doesn't have to hit 30 homers and drive in 120, but if he hits 20 homers and drives in 80, it'd be a huge incremental jump over what was there last year, and they're going to win a couple more games because of that. That's all they need to do. They don't need to win 20 more games. 10 more games should get them in the playoffs.
Well, refresh my memory, but I think the Mets finished third, didn't they?
They actually... They finished tied for second last year. And they beat the Braves in a tiebreaker.
That's right, but they didn't get into the wild card playoffs.
You know, they were under 500. They really were never in that race, but I think this year they will.
Yeah, last year I know they were 79-83 not because I remember, but because I just checked a little while ago. The Mets have a lot of homegrown talent. They really didn't go out and start cherry-picking the free agents. They seem to be a team that's worth watching now. And I encourage people to get out to Queens and Citi Field, just like I encourage them to go to Yankee Stadium or to... Citibank Park down in Philly. There's nothing like a good afternoon of baseball on a Saturday or a Sunday or even a night game, you know, as long as you don't have to get up too early the next morning. But, you know, we have to talk about our favorite sport. We've got the New York Rangers who managed to win ugly no matter what. Why is that, Ken?
Games, they're winning one goal games. They're on a current streak, the last 10 games, none of which their top goalie, Henrik Lundqvist, has played. They're 8-0-2 in their last 10. When they need to score six goals, like they did against the Islanders, they get them. When they need to win 1-0, like they did this week against Calgary, they do it. I credit that to coaching and discipline. They managed to rise to the occasion no matter what that occasion is. If it's an offensive game, they set. If it's close to the best defensive game, they're able to play that way as well. So I really credit that to the coaching. That's not something that happens by accident. I believe that it's coaches and coaching staff that.
Well, the acid test will be Saturday night when they play my Philadelphia Flyers. You know, the Flyers don't win ugly. They lose ugly. They lose in shootouts. They beat the good teams but lose to the bad teams. And I can't figure out why that is, and I'm sure Craig Berube can't either. Philadelphia has been on a tear lately, but anytime they get into a shootout, they don't seem to come out except holding the short end of the stick, and I'm not really sure why that is, Ken. They've got good goaltending. They, even though Mason was hurt, he played last night, two nights ago, rather, against in the third period against the one of the worst teams in hockey, the Hurricanes, who the Flyers managed to lose 4-1 after losing to Buffalo 3-2.
I can't figure out why they beat the Nashvilles and the Washington Capitals, even Nashville, in a shootout. But they just don't rise to the occasion. They're like the New York Jets. They sink to the level of their competition for some reason. Do you have any idea why that is, Ken?
Hockey is a funny game. You know, the Rangers are the same way. They just staggered to a win, you know, against Calgary, which is their playoff contender, but they Raiders should beat them at home. They staggered against Arizona. They came back from 3-1 down to win the game 4-3. You know, you get a couple of bounces going the right way at any team. I mean, there's so much skill, so much parity in the NHL right now. It's almost, you know, luck of the draw how you're going to perform in a game. The Flyers have been an inconsistent team.
The Flyers have managed to...
Years, they were scoring and weren't getting goaltending. Now they're getting goaltending and not scoring. So that's...
Yeah, go figure that one out, right?
They just can't put together a streak. And I hate to tell you this, Bill, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
I don't think they are either. I think that the two or three games that they lost to weaker teams beneath them this year are going to be the difference. I think they're going to come close. A very interesting trade. The Panthers just acquired Jaromir Jagr from the New Jersey Devils. Jaromir Jagr wasn't getting a lot of playing time with Lou Lamoriello at the helm of the Devils, and he was not too happy about it. And suddenly he's gone.
Why Lamoriello, he kind of put Jagr, he wasn't getting the ice time he was getting before. I'm not sure why he did that. Do you have any insight into that?
No, John Manfreda might, because he follows the New Jersey Devils far more closely than I do, but I've always liked Jagr. When he was with the Flyers, I thought he was an inspirational player, one of the best guys on the ice, and for a guy who's 42, 43 years old, he's amazing. I had the pleasure once of sitting next to him. He was in the penalty box, and I managed to wangle a very good seat at a Flyers game, right one row down, one row off the ice, and right next to the home penalty box. And if you look at him, he looks like one of the fittest guys around. And from what I've read about him and what I've seen when they've interviewed him in the summer, he's got a tremendous training regimen. He's one of the most self-disciplined guys around. He takes excellent care of his health and his conditioning, and he's always looking to get better. Jagr is like Peter Forsberg. He's one of those guys that makes everybody around him a better hockey player.
Yeah, I thought he was still the Devils' best forward. I was surprised he got his cut, you know, lifetime cut the way he did. And Florida says they're going to put him right in on the front line. You know,
I think so. I think he's going to be a real asset to Florida. And Florida now looks like they might just hang in there for that second wild card spot. The Bruins are playing New Jersey tonight, and I'm hoping New Jersey beats them, because the Flyers, flipping and flopping like they are still only four out from a playoff position. And I'm hoping that they can beat the Rangers Saturday, which I think is in Madison Square Garden.
Calm down on beating the Raiders, Bill. Yeah, I think Giroux and Voracek are in the top five, and Simmons is far below that. But unfortunately for them, that's about it. Their scoring is spread among those three. They don't get a lot from their second, third lines. And in the modern NHL, you can't depend on one line, because the opposing team can focus on it and really do what they need to do to shut them down. And that's when you need your secondary scorers to step up. And so far this year, they haven't gotten that at all with Flyers.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting, because you've got an excellent hockey team in the New York Rangers. They've certainly got a lot of great players. They're doing real well. What I can't figure out is why is it that the Rangers don't seem to be able to get their look as good as they can often play. So, you know, we've got the problem of they're winning, but they're winning ugly. And, you know, are they coasting because they're saving it for another time? Who knows? Meanwhile, let's talk about the weather for a minute, Ken. I want to do the weather and let everybody out there know. Tonight's going to be mostly clear with a low of around 4 degrees for those of us who wish they were in Canada. Northwest winds around 5 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. Saturday will be mostly sunny with a high near 27. Calm wind turning northwest around 6 miles an hour. Saturday night will be clear with a low around 2, and again, not too windy. Sunday, chance of snow, mainly afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high near 29, calm wind, chance of precipitation 50%, new snow accumulation less than 1/2 inch possible. Sunday night, snow, mainly before 3 a.m., low around 26 degrees, calm wind. They're guaranteeing a snow. They're saying chance of precipitation is 100%, new snow accumulation 1 to 3 inches possible. And Monday, when we're all on our way back to work, a slight chance of freezing rain before 8 a.m., partly sunny with a high near 40, and a chance of rain later that day is 20%. And then Tuesday, we're likely to get some more snow. Then it's going to warm up and, you know, start hitting the 30s again. So it's pretty likely that spring is just around the corner, Ken. And you know what that means. Baseball. And the Stanley Cup playoffs. And
tell you what, Bill, that sounds like that is a miserable forecast. 4 degrees, 2 degrees, snow, 100% chance, freezing rain.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait until it gets into the 30s and 40s and above. Enough already.
Well, you know, I'm getting a little tired of winter. This is the first winter that I've ever said to myself, boy, I'm getting sick of winter. You know, and it takes a lot because I enjoy winter sports. I love to ski. I love to skate. I love hockey, as you know. And I've even managed to get in some cross-country skiing this year, but I'm not getting outdoors as much as I'd like to. And, you know, it takes its toll after a while. How about you?
I know what you're going through, Bill. I mean, we've had snow on the ground in November, and Sunday is March 1st. Let old man winter have its last gasp, hopefully this weekend with the snow and the freezing rain, and then let spring come here next week. That's what I'm looking for.
You know, we really have had ourselves a tough winter here, and it's about time that we started to see it warm up and get a lot better, because I don't know about you, Ken, but it started to take its toll on me.
Losing a little bit, Bill.
Okay, well, I just bent away from the microphone for a second. I'm trying to figure out how we get the the weekend rollout here for after we leave, but we'll figure it out before we do much more. You know, Ken, I was curious. We usually talk about football, and we haven't mentioned football very much yet, but I just saw that Adrian Peterson's suspension got lifted, and what's going to happen with him?
I'm not sure. Does that mean is he now a free agent, or does he go back to
Minnesota? I don't know. I've heard that Dallas might pick him up.
Okay, so I guess he's a free agent then. I don't know. I mean,
I'm not sure.
He's one of the talented players in the league. Guy anybody would want on their team, so it would be very interesting to see where he lands. And I think wherever he does land, he's going to make an impact. I don't be as much doubt about that. He's still in the prime of his career.
Well, yeah, I would think so. You know, and it just goes to show you that if you're a good athlete and you can give a team some value, it's almost like you can do just about anything except commit murder like Aaron Hernandez.
Apparently.
Yeah, that's for sure. The other thing that I noticed when I was looking at the paper the other day is that San Diego and Oakland are both now looking to build a stadium just south of Los Angeles in Carson. And it'll be interesting to see whether public money becomes involved in helping them to fund that stadium. In an $11 billion a year industry, I'm not so sure why they need public funding to build stadiums.
Yeah, well, nobody wants to foot the bill themselves for a new stadium. They can get some help. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy. How long has the NFL not been in Los Angeles, the second biggest city in the country?
I think 20 years.
20 years? How can that be? Is it possible?
Yeah. I never understood why L.A. Didn't build a stadium and then just a state-of-the-art football stadium and then just make a good deal with the NFL. You know, a lot of people say have swallowed the NFL's Kool-Aid about football stadiums bring business, and that all the studies that are done show just the opposite. So...
Yeah.
I have a real question as to whether there really should be public funding of football stadiums, particularly when we get into the into a situation where the NFL is such a wealthy industry. It's time for us to break for a commercial, Ken. And so, if you'll just stay right there, I'm going to hit the money button and keep our sponsors happy. Okay, but stay on the line.
Jewish Family Service of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties is in need of car donations to help fund their programs and services. For over 30 years, JFS, a nonprofit, non-sectarian social service agency, has been providing counseling and other supports to those living and working in the Tri-County area. Skilled JFS staff and volunteers help families and individuals, young or old, rich or poor, meet the emotional and practical challenges faced by those struggling with life's difficulties. Whether coping with relationship issues, feelings of depression or anxiety, illness, loss, work-related problems, or other crises, JFS is here to help provide emotional support and counseling and other tangible assistance to those in need. Funds received from car donations go directly to cover the cost of providing counseling to children and families, social work home visits to isolated seniors, and career counseling to those recently unemployed. It's easy to donate. Just call 877-JFS-4CAR or 877-537-4227 and speak with a vehicle donation representative. For more information about JFS, please visit their website at www.jewishfamilysvc.org.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
Well, Ken, we're back, and we have one more ad to play, and then we're going to talk sports more. It's 5:45, so let's hit that one last money button.
Okay.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
And we're back. Ken, you still there with us?
I'm still here. Still.
Oh, that's great, Ken.
I made it to Route 78, though, Bill. So,
okay. And where are you? What's the traffic like where you are, Ken?
Bumper to bumper going west.
Well, it's certainly no fun, is it?
No.
Well, there's just some times where you have to be tough to live here in New Jersey, right?
That's it.
Is it Jersey strong or is it Jersey tough? I forget which.
I think I'd rather be Jersey strong. I'm going with Jersey strong.
Well, I'll go with Jersey strong, too. It's better to be strong than to be tough.
Right.
We take a licking, but we keep on ticking, right? Meanwhile, you know, I don't follow the NBA much, but it's amazing to me how the Sixers, the Knicks, and the Nets could all be bad at the same time. How is that possible?
No excuse for the Nets. They've gone out and spent, and I'm not a big NBA fan either, but I know they have a new owner who has gone out and spent a lot of money for a team that's 10 games under 500. Now, the Sixers and the Knicks, a little different. I think they're both positioning for the best chance to get the top draft pick next year. I know the Knicks are. Sixers are in a little better spot. They have some young talent on their team, and the Knicks really don't switch them. They really don't have any young talent on their team. The ironic thing is, both of them have won more than 9 games, so we're not going to see a new NBA record for losses. With all the Knicks, they might not win another game the rest of the year with Carmelo Anthony out for the season, and J.R. Smith traded, and Iman Shumpert traded, and Amari Stoudemire waived. I can't, outside of Jose Calderon, I don't think I can name another Knicks player. They might not win another game the rest of the year. They might end up 10-72. It wouldn't shock me at all if the Mets, the Knicks lose 70 games. Not a bit.
Well, I'd sure like to see Philadelphia lose a distinction of being the team with the most losses in NBA history, but
right.
That probably is not to be.
9 wins in 82 games is tough to beat.
Yeah.
You got to be really bad.
Yeah. How about some of the local sports scene? You're tied in with some of the local sports activity in Warren County and around Phillipsburg and the northern part of Hunterdon County. What's going on up there? Wrestling's still hopping, and so is high school basketball.
Well, I can report this. This much I know. The districts in Warren and Hunterdon County took place last week. The district, of course, the top 3 wrestlers in each weight classification move on to the regionals. Phillipsburg won the district again, and 13 out of 14 weight classes, Phillipsburg advanced their wrestlers to the district. I think they had 7 champions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure on that number, but the key thing is 13 out of 14 wrestlers on the Phillipsburg to the districts, which are, I believe, they're this weekend.
And so, and what high school is this at?
That's at Phillipsburg, New Jersey.
Ah, okay. So that sounds like it's going to be something interesting. I can tell you that down the shore, there's a hockey tournament. There's also going to be in Brick. There's also going to be some ice boat racing this weekend. If anybody ever decides they want to be down the shore in the cold weather, and the really neat thing is there are a couple of restaurants that if you take a good look at your GPS, you'll see they're right on the water. And they have windows, so you can eat a meal and watch the ice boat races on the Barnegat Bay or the Toms River. So that can be a lot of fun for a good number of our people. The other thing, too, is I wanted to congratulate Temple University's basketball team. They've gotten pretty hot. They're playing well, and they've got a shot at getting into the Final 64 in a big tournament, March Madness. They beat Houston last night, 66-54. So go Owls. Ken, what else is going on out there in Sportsland?
Well, you bring up an interesting point. Theoretically, March Madness starts Sunday, right? I guess we're just getting into the tournaments, and then we should have the that 64 where they name the seeding. That's not this week. It's probably a week from Sunday.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
I think the bids are a week from Sunday, and then the tournament starts and all the craziness starts in college hoop. The interesting thing is you look at a school like Virginia, they've gone 26-1. That's almost unheard of, isn't it? And they're in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Duke is 25-3. Notre Dame is 24-5. Louisville, a perennial in the tournament, is 22-6. It looks like they've kind of fallen off a little bit. But if you look at some of the Big East standings, Villanova, a Philadelphia area school, is 26-2. And you just know that you know, they're going to be in the big dance. So what I'm hoping is that Temple gets picked and can at least get into the Sweet 16, if not the Crazy Eight.
You know, I've kind of lost track of Temple. You have to help me out here, Bill. What conference do they play in now?
That's kind of hard to figure out because they play in the – they used to play in the MAC in football, and they moved to the Atlantic Coast Conference, and – I'm not really sure where they play basketball these days. It wouldn't surprise me if they were actually an independent. But when I look at college hoop, I always say to myself, you know, these conferences change over and over. I mean, they change like they change like you change your socks sometimes.
Yeah, and I can't keep up.
Yeah, I have trouble keeping up with it too. And I'm gonna go on the internet and see just where the Owls are playing. And what conference they're in.
I know Rutgers is in the Big Ten. I know St. John's is in the newly reformed Big East with Seton Hall. I don't know where Temple is. I really don't. Maybe they're in the Big East. I don't know. I can't keep track.
It's amazing to me. You know, they're in the American Athletic Conference. They're 20-9. They're in third place in the American Athletic Conference, which is the AAC and not the ACC.
Who else is in the American Athletic Conference?
That's an excellent question. East Carolina, Connecticut, Memphis, Cincinnati, SMU, Tulsa, Houston, and as I said, Connecticut. So
let me get this straight. Temple and Connecticut are in a conference with SMU and Houston
and Tulsa. So
obviously,
yeah,
geography was not the point that they were bringing up when they put.
No, I don't think so. I think it was the big eye that generates all the Benjamins television. Remember, it's all about the money. And, you know, it's very interesting because the more you look at college sports these days, the more it's really just pro sports except in name. I see this as money generating. I just saw on the front page of the Star Ledger a couple of days ago where the governor is being criticized for not doing enough for Rutgers sports and Rutgers basketball, and you know, it makes you wonder where the priorities are in a state where we don't have enough income to cover pensions.
The Rutgers basketball team would be priority number, you know, 97. But apparently, there's some. And we're talking about politicians here that are up in arms about it. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, this group has got a damn fool running the state. Never mind worrying about the Rutgers basketball team. I mean, I get it. Mm-hmm. It's a state school. Those are state employees. But you know what? Let's solve some other problems.
Exactly. It's absolutely crazy to me. I mean, when you look at where Temple plays in the AAU, they remember Temple got kicked out of the Big East for football and basketball, and they were always a basketball power, even in years where they weren't that good. But the Owls were even playing schools like Louisiana Tech this year, a non-conference school. They lost to Duke. They played the Running Rebels in the Thanksgiving conference up at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. But, you know, locally they played Penn, Long Island University. They played, they lost to St. Joe's, they lost to LaSalle and the Palestra. But they beat Towson, and they lost to Villanova at Villanova. So when you begin to look at some of these conferences that these schools are in, you say to yourself, why are they there?
Yeah, well, you hit it on the head. Well, Bob, the best way for these schools to generate income.
Yeah, it's all the money, all about the money.
Basketball, they make all the money for all the other sports. So,
I wonder about that because, you know, if you watch a college basketball game and you actually attend, you know, if it's in a small arena at the school, that's fine. But when they go and they play in a place like Wells Fargo Center down in Philadelphia, I don't think half the seats are sold. So it really makes you wonder. I remember going to a Temple football game. It was Temple actually had a pretty good team that year. It was in the Paul Palmer era, and they were playing Rutgers in Veterans Stadium. And you would think Temple-Rutgers, a rivalry going on for a long time, a Big East rivalry. Temple beat Rutgers, I don't think that the stadium was 25% filled, but that was many years ago.
Yeah, but you know what? Things may have been different 20 years ago. Nowadays, all the big conferences are affiliated with networks in terms of guaranteed money. So if you get with a conference and guarantee yourself the money, it doesn't matter if anybody shows up for a game. You're getting your piece of the, you know, you're getting your slice of pie. And I can't blame the athletic directors for going out and signing up, you know, Temple, for instance. Yeah, go ahead, sign up with Rice and SMU and Houston. If that's the conference that's the best benefit, you know, most beneficial for the school, so be it.
Well, you know, that's just the way it is sometimes. It is a situation where you just can't seem to justify a lot of the money that's spent, you know, and these are no longer student athletes. They're athletes that happen to be students sometimes.
And especially think about it. I mean, the guys from Temple and UConn and vice versa, they're traveling to Tulsa. They're traveling to Houston. They're traveling to SMU. That's not a bus ride.
No, that's an airplane ride, and an airplane is not a cheap coach flight either. So you know you have to wonder. You really have to wonder.
I don't get it.
Yep, we're getting near the bottom. We're getting to the top of the hour again, and we're just about ready to sign off for the week. For the weekend, I'm going to try to do the rewind because it is 5:59. Ken, any parting shots for our listening audience?
The only parting shot I have is enjoy the last gasp of Old Man Winter, if that's what you want to do, and go Rangers, and we'll talk to everybody next week. Thanks, Bill.
Well, Ken, I appreciate you calling in, and go Flyers, and folks, get up off that couch, at least Saturday. Sunday, the weather may be a little bad, but, you know, we all have just about suffered through this winter, and it's almost over, folks, so get up off that couch. Spring's right around the corner. Ken, have a great weekend. This is Bill Wolfson and wishing you a great weekend, and take it easy. And remember, shop local, shop Hunterdon. This is the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce for the sports guys. Have a great weekend, folks. Take care, Ken, and we'll see you next Friday.
Yep, good night.
Good night.